Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. I'm Miss Paralegal, here to talk to you about a talk show on blogtalkradio.com, The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. Tune in each Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific, a full hour and a half of politics and everything that concerns your community. The comments, guests, and actions of this show has nothing to do with blogtalkradio.com or its sponsors. This commercial has been sponsored by The Next Phase with Ice and Friends.
Good evening. Welcome to The Next Phase with Ice and Friends, heard Thursday, 7 until 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 until 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 8 until 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We always like to offer this brief disclaimer in the beginning of the show. Any comments and or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or opinions of the hosts, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. Our brief description of the show is, this show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members in communities can increase their abilities to acquire more income. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests. All these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format. There will be musical segments, interesting guests, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience. If you have any interest in improving situations for our youth, such as STEM and incarceration estimates for minority members of this society or any members for this society, reassessing the significance of spiritual impact, investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many pertinent topics too numerous to include in this introduction, just join us as we seek truth on The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. Call us at 347-945-7040. That's 347-945-7040. Or you can email us at blakicz.1@gmail.com. Email at blakicz.1@gmail.com. We highly recommend that you consult professionals in the fields we refer to on this show. The information you hear on this show is meant to be a catalyst to encourage individuals to research topics that they find interesting. SMART Incorporated, Single Mothers Are Really Trying. SMART Incorporated is a nonprofit organization that provides reentry and residential rehabilitation services to people suffering from addictions and co-occurring disorders. Our goal is to help women improve health and wellness, reduce risk of addiction relapse, STDs, and violence. We also help to improve self-sufficiency, build and sustain healthy relationships, and strengthen families. SMART houses women and their children who are reentering from the forensic system or that are in need of addiction treatment. Our purpose, SMART, Single Mothers Are Really Trying, desires to make a footprint and take leadership in providing services to disadvantaged mothers and children. Temporary shelter as well as other support services will be offered to women with children who are homeless, recovering from addictions, victims of spousal abuse, ex-felons, or otherwise economically disadvantaged. No matter where your past has been, your future is spotless.
Hey, good afternoon. Good evening. I want to welcome you to The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. 4 minutes past 7:04. The Next Phase with Ice and Friends, heard right here Thursdays on Blog Talk Radio, 7 until 8:30 p.m., broadcasting out of West Texas. 103 degrees right now. Feels like it's about 97. Real dry, hot out here. Hadn't rained in about, since last August, I think. And I'm understanding that there are some heat waves all over the U.S., up along the East Coast and up in the North even, and out to the West. Sorry to hear about what's going on in Arizona. I hope there aren't any lives that have been lost as a result. I hadn't been keeping up with that all that well. But I'm hoping that there aren't any lives that have been lost out there during that those tremendous fires that are out there in Arizona. But hey, I'd like to welcome you again right here to the next phase with Ice and Friends. If you feel like giving us a call, please do it 347-945-7040. Or you can contact us at blakicz.1@gmail.com. blakicz.1@gmail.com. If you want to give us any information that you'd like to hear or any hosts that you would like to host, topics, subject matter, whatever the case may be, if you'd like to be a part of the show, let us know and we'll do our best to get you scheduled in here. And I want to say last week I had a ball, had a blast. And I want to say thank you, Nip's Poetic Nook, for a great evening of poetry and conscious discussion. And I want to, and I hope that you all will come back very, very, very soon. Nip's Poetic Nook on Pal Talk is a chat site that I frequent on occasion, and we had a great time. And I'm hoping that I can. That I can coerce them into coming back because it was a really, really special event. Got a chance to hear some spoken word. I even got a chance to do a little bit, and I'm grateful that they accepted us in the fold. So thank you, Nip's Poetic Nook. I see Brother Alpha in the chat room. Hello, my brother. How are you doing? Brother says the rules for orchestration. Endless repeating the same messages in different variations and combinations, the rule for simplification, reducing all data to a simple confrontation between bad, good and bad, a friend and foe, and the rule of disfigurate. I'm going to have to find out what that one is. I'm sure he's putting it in the room, but Brother Alpha, thanks. Hey, give us a call, Brother Alpha, if you get a chance. She would appreciate it. We're going to look at, first I want to share with you some poetry that I was privileged to be a part of from Nip's Poetic Nook. I want to share it with you, some poetry from that group. And we have poetic groups right here on Blog Talk Radio. If you get a chance, hop over here and give them a listen. But if you want to go, if you get a chance to go to Pal Talk, PalTalk.com, I believe it is. www. Nip's Poetic Nook. Nips, NIPPS POETIC, Poetic Nook, and where you'll get a chance to enjoy some enriching, flavorful poetry from the Nookers there. And we'll be right back with a little bit more of the show, but I want to share with you some of the poetry that was shared with us, and we appreciate it. Poetic Soul. Let me think. Yeah, Poetic Soul, Bedroom Bully, and I know I'm going to forget some of the other people. Not Ski Wee, though. I won't forget Ski Wee. And, I tell you. See, I hate to do that. And Chocolate Nips, who was the owner of the room. And, I have to get the information on the rest of the guys that were here last week. But I have some. I think Dark Tanyan is a part of that group. There are some just wonderful poets over there, and I really appreciate them letting me be a part of their community. Thank you so much. We'll be right back with after I share some of this poetry with you.
You're listening to The Next Phase with Black Ice and Friends. This is Chocolate Nips, host of Nips Poetic Nook, on PalTalk.com.
There was a wedding in Fallujah last night. The dancers danced and the players played all through the Sumerian twilight. But outside there were little white leaflets of a coming to the end of peace, propaganda within each and every Fallujan's reach. It read, "O people of Fallujah, we are here to set you free from your tyranny. Our bombs will be precise for maximum target opportunity. Your broken limbs and shattered dreams will not be because of me, so flee, I have warned thee. Your children's great-great-grandchildren will not remember me in their history, for we will change it for thee. Don't worry. Just like we did in our own libraries and your libraries, The memory of Mesopotamia and history's first breath are just a memory. But don't worry. We will just rewrite it for thee, so your children and mine can know the new history. But it's okay, don't worry. It's just not good publicity for me. There was a wedding in Fallujah last night. No signs of iron birds dropping explosive shit in sight. Only music filled the dark Sumerian twilight, and no one there felt any fright. So they danced all night in Fallujah. And they looked around to find no tyranny in the vicinity. There was a wedding in Fallujah last night. Now the dancing feet are running, and the players aren't strumming, because they saw this coming. Al Jazeera told them it was coming. But hope saved their wedding plan, scurrying fast to save their culture and land. For the Redeemers are on their way, hot metal flying through the peaceful Sunni air, looking for a man wearing a kufi and a prayer. Full metal jackets roaming the landscape, Fallujahans dying to escape, because the wedding ended way too soon, the leathernecks came way too soon, and the dancers are running for dear life, and husband and wife won't celebrate tonight. Because the warplanes are flying tonight, just like they flew over Vietnam in 1962. From 30 advisors to over 4,002. Advising what to who? The strange Hamlet begins again, just like it did in 1962. We're coming to free you. Oh, Fallujah, you will love the new you. Show you this wonderful way of life. With Bible and bullets, we are coming to save you from your pain and strife. That's why we had to interrupt your wedding last night. 40 miles from the Syrian border, a stray bomb paid you a visit. But that's okay, our money will mold back the clay. We already have it worked into the budget. The American people don't mind us killing you. I promise, it's okay. So don't shoot your bullets at me. Remember, we came to set you free, free to have more weddings, and free to dance through the night, and free to wear your kufis and prayers, and free to speak the Queen's English, and free to pick up our little white propaganda leaflets after you learn to speak it. And free to flee from our tyranny. There will be a funeral in Fallujah tonight. And all of Fallujah will be there, whether dead or alive. They were all there. And all future weddings have been officially canceled.
Oh, wow, that was great. That was my brother, Mr. Poetic Soul, and the title of that piece was A Wedding in Fallujah. And as I've stated, there are tremendously talented individuals that throughout our culture. And I just want to share with you, and I wish that they were here, and hopefully they'll be back. And they use their poetry for different reasons and in different ways. And it is just tremendously exciting for me to get a chance to share the poetry with you. And some of it is has levity to it. Some of it is more thought provocative. Some of it is representative of very, very deep introspection. And let me share another one with you right now with from, I believe this is Sister Chocolate Nips. And the title of this one, let me let you figure it out. I want to share this one with you. And then right after that, we'll get into a different aspect of the show. But right now, music from Nips Poetic Nook on Pow Talk. com.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Feel me. Feel my warmth. Last night, I went to visit a mother of three. Filled her up until she went to sleep with me locked in her veins. Forever. Her children now growing up in the system. Moving from one home to another, being raped, beaten, and held back. I keep up with where they go. Cause her son is about to become my lover. My job is just too easy. Ms. Darnell was awarded Teacher of the Year 5 times. She was productive on the school board, PTA, was team leader in her kids' sports, on the town council, and deaconess at her church. I found her in the teacher's bathroom, ingesting the last of me in her veins, staring in the mirror at what she'd become, now trying to recompose herself as I slither along her veins into her system, racing to her heart and brain. My manipulation driving her insane as she tried to cover her tracks. For days, minutes, and seconds missed as I flow freely inside her and on a daily basis. Don't you want to fly with us? Let's go to North Carolina, a small town. I know someone here want to fall in love with me today. My job is just too easy. See? I do what families and churches don't do. I take in the sin sick, the weak, the homeless, and unwanted children. I go into the streets, the byways, and corners. I go where new suits and dresses still is too good for them. I have many lovers. I make good love to those belonging to me. I turn over every rock for my lovers. I become mothers, sisters, brothers, fathers, preachers to every man and woman, boy and girl. Children whose hearts cry out to be saved, to be loved, to simply belong to someone, somewhere. Too easy. Look at how this brother abuses his wife. No love for her. She needs me to warm her, make her feel that I'm all she'll ever need in her life. I will become her life. He got her popping pills, smoking weed. Shit. Let me go intervene. She's working 2 jobs, looking tired as hell. Yeah, man. I got her. My next lover. That feels so good. I am in the veins and noses of a nation today, weak and torn, gone astray. Got my own zip code and I am loving the pay. I am a king, king heroine. I build strong nations from all races. I am powerful in every country with a nice majority of its citizens. I don't discriminate. I take families to the next level. I give policemen energy to pull the next shift. Politicians pull for the next election. I build cartels. People want to destroy me. Why? They want to see that my existence fades. See? This is just too easy. I ain't going nowhere. The preachers that went to see the politicians about my demise is now my lover. Bought and paid for preaching in the pulpit on Sunday morning in disguise. My love flowing through his veins, and the next six is in his office to take him through. He fought being my lover for a minute or two, praying to his God. Where is his God now that I've taken him in, and as my lover and given him refuge? He got greedy and tasted of my sweetest nectar. Now as he preached sin from your souls, I laced the lining of his veins with the best crunk juice around. He gets high. So high, the spirit that takes him higher is me. King Harold, daddy to all those souls that weren't good enough to make it. But wait. Let me check my family. Oh, snap. Look what I found over here hiding behind all that money and power. Check this out. This family got it all. Father makes millions. His business is all that. Wife is some high society chick with two kids. One in high school, the other in elementary. What the? Daddy just became my new lover. He just dropped a grand on some of my best shit. Oh, snap. This is gonna be good. Just way too easy. Oh my damn. And I am so large and in charge, I am flowing in the purest of veins, govern a nation, the White House. My job is just too fucking easy. Look at them, struggling to taste me. They would rather sell their cars and homes than lose a smooth and unique lover like me. Shit, I am King Heroin, one of the smoothest flights you will ever take. And when you come down, believe me, I got you, baby. I am your love. Trust what I do for you. Where else or whom will love you like me? I don't beat on you. I supply heat and comfort for your sleep. Sleep now. Let me flow through. Let me relax you. Sleep now. Sleep, sleep, sleep.
Absolutely phenomenal. That was Dear Sister Miss Chocolate Nips, Unique, Poetic Nook on PowTalk.com. And I got a call here, and I'm going to bring you up, call. Just hold on a second. Just one more second, and let me do this right quick.
You're listening to The Next Phase with Black Ice and Friends. This is Chocolate Nips, host of Nips Poetic Nook, on PowTalk.com.
Hey, I got a caller right here. Caller, can you hear me? Hello? Hello, is anyone there? Anyway, I have a caller on the line and doesn't identify the area code, so I'm not really sure who it is. But anyway, I'll just leave you here. If you get a chance, holler. And you'll be online whenever you get a chance to come back. Is that you, Brother Alpha? Anyway, we got a caller online here, and anyway, we'll try to get you on as soon as you come back to the mic or phone or whatever it is. But I wanted to take a look at this article that I found, and I hope that you would. Hello, caller. Are you here? Okay. Anyway, this is about, I found this in the Griot. Hello, caller, are you here? Anyway, I found this in the Griot. How Race Plays a Role in X-Men First Class. This is by Javier E. David, Dateline 8:12 a.m. on 6/9/2011. So that was today, 2011. This article starts off with it's fitting that X-Men First Class rebooted the iconic comic franchise and about a franchise about mutants born with a genetic anomaly that grants them superpowers is narrated in the early 60s, 1960s. Although the movie gracefully glosses over the events of the turbulent civil rights movement, it still succeeds in capturing the essence of what the movement exemplified, a group of people's struggle for dignity and equality in the face of unremitting hostility. The movie itself is resonant with racial overtones and sexual politics, perhaps an inevitable result of the film's Kennedy-era backdrop. The focus on a group of oppressed mutants who struggle with acceptance has afforded some of the blogosphere the opportunity to dissect the movie's message in search of politically correct imagery. Seek and you shall find, as the saying goes. A debate has erupted online about whether Magneto, a.k.a. Eric Lesher, one of the movie's main characters, was correct in his embrace of nihilistic worldview. A Holocaust survivor and self-declared master of magnetism, Magneto adopts a separatist hard line on the subject of humans and mutants coexisting peacefully. His perspective contrasts sharply with that of peaceful, a Gandhi-like Charles Xavier, who believes fervently that mutants can be accepted in the culture at large. You don't need to be a lifelong comic fanboy to notice the parallels between the universe inhabited by fictional mutants and the real-world circumstances of racial and ethnic minorities. Given that the X-Men were created in 1962, during the height of the struggle to square the rights of blacks with the constitutional freedom enjoyed by the majority, the allegories between the warring factions of Mutant Dom and those in the civil rights movement are fairly obvious. It's not an accident that Magneto's angry and often extreme approach to mutant-human relations bears echoes of Malcolm X's strident approach to black equality. By contrast, Xavier's conciliatory ways are virtually identical to the sonorous nonviolence championed by Martin Luther King Jr. Like Malcolm and MLK, both Xavier and Magneto agree on the final destination, yet both travel starkly different roads to get there. In some minds, it begs an obvious question: which method is more effective? There is a natural temptation to moralize about and read social commentary into the comic book movies, which really should be judged on their entertainment value. For better or worse, that impulse is augmented substantially by the special circumstances and the racial biological diversity that suffuse the X-Men, who are the comic book equivalent of Benetton commercial, given that mutants themselves are a collection of misfits that come in all races and ethnicities. Modern standards of political correctness shouldn't apply. And I'm waiting on my page to turn so I can finish this story for you. As soon as it gets here, we will continue. Okay, this is in the Griot, and this is by Javier E. David. And I thought this was a fairly insightful look at to bring the X-Men movie to some almost realistic equivocation. And it gives us a little bit of insight as to how some authors skillfully address some issues and that would elude some of us unless we take a more conscious view of these particular movies. And I have an opinion about these movies that we see on TV and so forth. And I had a discussion with about a friend of mine who was doing a paper on it. And it was interesting. But anyway, I'll finish the story right now. It says, and yet that doesn't stop people from trying. As the similarities between mutants and minorities are near irresistible, just as blacks were once brutally suppressed by individuals and institutions alike, the inhabitants of the X-Men's universe endure fear and repression at the hands of the world that judges them by their physical attributes rather than the content of their character. In the comic version, the government spearheads several attempts to force mutants and other super beings to register with authorities. In the mother of the civil rights metaphors, the final efforts to track mutants rent the superhero community asunder and nearly destroy lifelong relationships. In certain respects, those storylines all but validated Magneto's uncompromising approach to establishing the mutant community separate from the rest of the human race. By comparison, Xavier's We Are the World disposition looks weak and ineffectual, particularly in the face of government initiatives and ultimately undermine the rights of mutants to live peacefully. Much like Malcolm X's incendiary style during the rise of the cultural to a cultural icon, Magneto is prone to bombast and militancy. This, of course, accomplishes little beyond leading to mutual hostility and disdain from the world at large. Fiery rhetoric can help galvanize masses and help the oppressed feel empowered. It can also work at cross purposes. The late Manning Marable's magnum opus on Malcolm X underscored a key reality about Malcolm's evolution into a civil rights icon. Conciliation wins result and respect. Had he, or for that matter, the majority of the civil rights movement, wedded themselves to Manichean violent worldview, the movement toward full and equal rights would likely have ended differently. Magneto's fire and brimstone methods, while fictional, are equally instructive. The plot of X-Men First Class generates subtle tensions and differences of opinion that put Magneto and Xavier, again, much like Malcolm and MLK, on the inevitable path toward confrontation. By the end of the movie, it's not that hard to tell where the story will end up. However gratifying it might be in the short run, Magneto's approach is simply not the ideal. Wanton violence and separatism for its own sake rarely accomplish anything, and the empirical evidence bears this out. Fans of the X-Men comic will recall that Magneto's heavy-handed tactics ended up branding him as a terrorist, thus placing his race in even more peril than they started. Not until he renounces his old ways and reconciles his philosophy with the need to work within the system does he actually see improvements in the race's circumstances, even if they are limited strides. You know, I thought that was interesting. It kind of caught my eye. You know, I'm always into anything that would give me any kind of a perspective in regard to relationships, which a lot of my brothers, I have some confrontations, especially with my brother Alpha. I don't choose to call our culture a race. I choose to call it a culture due to the fact that there is only one race, and I understand Brother Alpha's perspective on a lot of issues, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for his perspective on a lot of issues. And my reason for doing that is that I feel as though there has been an approach that was manufactured to really be so divisive as to have us portrayed as so lacking that we had to be determined to be quote unquote a separate race entirely. And to me, there's only one dang race, and that's the human race. And I think that we are a central and very significant portion of it. I've talked and visited with some brothers who have a tremendous background in the study of Kemet. And I'm telling you, if you ever talk to these brothers and sisters who have this extensive, and I want some of them to come on sometime to give you their perspective on Kemet, and I've heard them on different shows. I heard them on Ms. Blues one time, and I think there are some shows on here that have information in regard to Kemet and the study of I think it's actually the origins of what one of the brothers that I know that has a room, I call him Brother Wu. He speaks a lot about and does a tremendous amount of research in regard to how religions were established and the origin of people and how it all interacts and with the continent of Africa. And these, there are some realities that exist there that if you resist these realities, to me, they can cause you a tremendous amount of mental stress. Much as I see when I look at, you know, we were talking about just a minute ago, the X-Men and some of the analogies, some of the comparisons with it and the struggle for civil rights for people of African descent. The idea is that civil rights are civil rights. That means for every citizen. And it happened that we were, as people of African descent, not provided the all the amenities that should have been afforded us as being citizens of the United States of America. And that is a diversionary tactic in a way, because it takes us away from all of us being able to combine our strengths, work toward eliminating the problems that we have and providing the solutions that are necessary for us to be a successful, quote-unquote, race, human race of people. And, I was looking at the dude Michael Steele today, and I'm totally 100% Democrat, period, 100% Obama supporter, period. And I look at Michael Steele, I look at guys like Herman Cain, you know, and Michael seems so uncomfortable with everything that's going on, with all the interviews that I've seen him be involved in, because this guy single-handedly, to me, he single-handedly was responsible for the Republican Party gaining the majority in the House of Representatives over the past election. And as he was so successful in his endeavors, I'm sorry, the Republican Party threw him under the bus and ran over him with all 18 wheels. And I mean, this was his reward as a brother in the Republican Party for being so successful. And, you know, and I'm like, how could you? And this guy is one of the most articulate individuals as far as trying to defend the Republican Party. He will. I watched him interview this guy, and he will come up with ideas that, to me, but the Republican Party can't change. It literally is forced to stay in the position that it's in, because it has to maintain its majority of Anglos. It has to maintain its majority of males. I mean, those are the constants. And the variable is, maybe it can accept certain little tiny changes here or there, and maybe not. And maybe it can accept certain financial and different changes like that, maybe not. But the Republican Party, in order as defined, is primarily a Anglo male party, a dominant, and in its worldview, it sees the world as the world supposing to be adherent to that philosophy. You know, the whole world has to, you know, bow down and allow the Anglo male to be, you know, and that's so archaic. It's so antique that it's never going to ever happen again. I mean, it's just over. It's vanished, vanquished. It's done with. It's through. And the sooner that we can evolve to a different perspective, you know, and even the European perspective is starting to be challenged. A lot of us, you know, talking about the X-Men, when you get into, to my idea, looking at movies, primarily the protagonist, the movies, soap operas, stories, television shows, whatever. The protagonists, the saviors, are always Anglo, generally, males. And so what that does subconsciously is it has you support, you know, the Anglo male, because you want to support the protagonist. You want the good to win all the time. Bad Dylan, you know, Superman, Batman, you know, and so you subconsciously acquiesce, you capitulate, and you say, well, I want the European to win, you know. And it's, to me, not realistic, but nevertheless, it's portrayed. And it's a method of perpetuating the idea of this paternalistic male Anglo domination or European male domination or whatever, having to do with a greater worldview, and it really actually gets to a concept that suggests that if the Anglo male doesn't think of it, the solution, then there is no solution, which is so erroneous. I mean, which is, I can't wait. You know, I was, Brother Alpha, let me see if he and Sister Navigo. Sister Navigo, thank you for being in the room. It's still. Yeah, Brother Alpha said, still did nothing during his time as a lion jockey. As a lion jockey. Alpha, man, is just too cold-blooded. Give me a call, Alpha, there, Governor. I want to argue with you, man. You know I want to fuss with you, man. You know better than that. Don't be doing it. But, you know, what to me what's happening in this world is, and I listen, is that everybody is talking about, the Republicans are significant. The Republicans have, you know, the hell with the Republicans. Vote them out. I don't even want to talk with them anymore. All these guys do, and I read my little piece last week of what I thought about Newt. And can you believe Newt's whole entire supporting cast abandoned him today, walked off and left him standing there all by himself? Some of them went to work for Rick Perry. Can you imagine Rick Perry? I can't even imagine him trying to call himself president of the United States. But let me get back to where I was, and let me say to you that I would like to invite you, please, to come to Blog Talk Radio, because there are hosts on here phenomenally better than myself. I enjoy myself. I have a good time, and you are always, always encouraged to call at 347-945-7040, 347-945-7040, and challenge me on my positions if you choose to. But I know there are other shows that are at the same time schedule as mine is, and that's all great. Oh, there's, let me see, who is this? This is my brother, 773. Who's on that side?
Hey, Black, how are you this evening?
Hey, Brother Alpha, how's it going?
You know, Black, come on, man. Did I just hear you say that Michael Steele single-handedly brought them back to the house? Come on,
hey,
Black.
Hey, Alpha, leave me alone, man. You know,
come
Michael
on,
Steele,
Black,
did it.
Come on, Black. Michael Steele ain't bringing the master back to the house. Front lawn with a lantern in his hand. In shorts and a striped shirt. That was the biggest lawn jockey gone. Now let's.
And don't forget the shiny tall boots. Alpha, don't forget the shiny tall boots.
Well, yeah, you're right. The knee high boots. Let's stipulate to a few things. There has never been a Black chairman to the RNC.
Right, exactly.
There has never been a Black president to the
right.
United States of America.
True.
So we get the first Black president, duly
right.
elected, and what do the Republicans do?
Right.
They play the race card. And think about it now. When they voted him in the seventh round of votes.
Exactly.
Because you had
yeah.
so many of them who were reluctant to
right.
vote for that Black man.
Why, Alpha, why?
To me, why? Come on, Ice, you live in Texas. You know, Ice, you're going to make me come down there in a raincoat because I can't just show up down there. It's too damn dry. The damn state done burned up 2.5 million acres of land, and you got a governor down there who cuts funding for the firefighters.
Exactly.
Now, you can you tell me, now, all the Newt's boys done run
yeah.
over to Rick Perry. That's like a kiss of death for Rick Perry. Not like he needed somebody to kiss him dead, because he's already done a very, you know, if you're going to succeed, because there's a black man in the White House. Now, you tell me if that was about anything other than the race of this man in the White House.
Oh, man. You know what, Alpha, if you think about it, you know, can you imagine that he wanted to succeed? I mean, this guy wants literally, you know, why not bring it up? You know, why not introduce, get the dominant Republican legislature to introduce a bill that would and have the state vote to secede, and then that way he couldn't run for president of the United States.
Well, Black, you know, that in and of itself was nothing but a lot of rhetoric and propaganda. He was throwing it out there. Now, let's get back. Let's get to the real nitty gritty of this.
Right.
So throughout all of these states yelling socialism.
Right.
They're yelling, we don't want to pay for something, blah, blah, you know, as it goes down the line. That's code for, we don't want this black man in the White House.
Exactly.
Every dollar that these states spend, for every dollar that they send in their taxes, these are the states that get more back than what they send. So they get more than a dollar back. They send a dollar in taxes, they get more than a dollar back in taxes.
What
about socialism that they're preaching, don't you understand? And those states are, as they, the more from the top to the bottom, the top state gets the most back per dollar. Mississippi, Louisiana, North Dakota, Alabama, South Dakota, Virginia, Arkansas, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Idaho, Arizona, Wyoming, Iowa, Nebraska, North Carolina, Utah, Georgia.
Right.
All red states. All right-to-work states. All anti-union states. All Republican, socialist, bedwetting, whining states. So who's a socialist?
Right.
Taking advantage of taxpayer dollars to benefit their states. So that's just tinkle, a trivial part of their hypocrisy. You go on and on and on all of these red state governors. Look at what they're doing now that they have power in the blue states. Suppressing, if they're suppressing everybody's vote. Abortion is the big thing. You know, they want to legislate women's uterus while crying small government. They want the government to basically regulate women's uterus. They're redefining rape. They are banning contraceptives. That's what these bills will do against Planned Parenthood. They are outlawing abortion in many of these states. They are also banning contraception. So now, they don't want you. They want to prevent you from not having, you know, they want to stop the contraception, which means every time you have sex, you're going to have a baby, potentially.
So right.
Can you get me around it? Get me past this Neanderthal mindset of these old white men. And you have these old white women who are standing by silent. And even furthermore, you have these middle-aged and young white women who are standing by silent because they know if they open their mouth against this type of war on women, that they will be beat down, shouted down, put down.
Right.
So when you get right down to it, that's where we are. And when you go ahead.
No. I'm saying in a way. In a way, we are. But, you know, and to me, what you're saying, I'm in total agreement with you. But right now the delineating strategy to me is going to be based around job creation, right? And you know what? Fortunately, let me tell you something, Brother Alfo. This is something that's going on. I'm in the oil field, working in the oil field, been out there for a long, long time. And they've discovered some more resources. And one of the things that I saw, I'm sure you saw Ed's show last night. And since President Obama's been in office, the increased oil production for the United States is the oil production has gone up substantially.
Well,
of course,
it's not a black. Yeah, the oil stuff is not about supply and demand. It's not about supply and demand.
Right.
This is about the speculators.
Right.
And you see, like you have to understand some things about this whole thing. These jobs that didn't create as many jobs as they thought they would. They didn't create as many jobs as they wanted to. Do you know why? Because they caved to spending cuts. Spending cuts cost jobs. They cost federal jobs. The majority of your federal workers are people of color.
Right.
This is a clawback.
Oh, okay.
Voting for Obama. You know, that is the entire Republican budget. If it's implemented, if it's brought into law, will cost 700,000 jobs. This comes from The Economist, from the McCain campaign.
Right, right.
And just from the CBO. You see, they talk about and they whine about Medicare and the CBO and the things that the CBO says Medicare will be broke by the year 2024. Well, the CBO also said that Ryan's Medicare program will kill Medicare.
Right.
He didn't add up now, did he? He did
right.
not raise that issue. If you're gonna cite the CBO for one thing, cite it for everything. But we are so caught up in this propaganda.
Right.
And that's all it is right wing propaganda because they, you know, I tried to send it to you, but my emails are really all jacked up, Black. But I come across this piece, and this particular piece spoke about the five rules of propaganda. Rule number one: orchestration of endless repeating the same message in different variations and combinations.
Right.
Now, that's what you see when you see so many people from the Republican side. They're in front of a camera every day saying the same thing, basically. Saying the same thing. Rule number two, simplification, reducing all data to a simple confrontation between good and bad, friend or foe.
Right.
Rule number three, the rule of disfiguration, discrediting an opposition by crude smears and parodies.
Mm-hmm.
Rule number four, the transfusion, manipulating and consensus values of the target audience for one own's end. So they're going
to
tell you everything, and it's all going to benefit them. And the rule number five of presenting one's viewpoint as if it were unanimous opinion of all right-thinking people, draining the doubting individual into agreement by the appeal of star performers, by social pressure, and by psychological contingent. That's what they do.
Right.
And until, you know, and this is not a deal of rocket science. This is simply about looking at what they do, how they do it, and when you get down to it, they are lying. Ain't that what they're talking about Anthony Weiner's doing? Lying.
Right.
They lied to get into office. Michael Steele had nothing to do with that. The first thing they did when Michael Steele was cut his balls off. And I don't mean to be so graphic. But they cut the purse strings from this man. The first time ever they have taken the purse strings from the chairman of the the RNC. They took things away from him because they knew that they could raise outside money. After Citizens United, that Michael Steele was nothing more than that puppet, that figurehead, that lawn jockey. And that's exactly how they treated him, as they threw him under the bus for, what's his name? Wait for it.
Wait. Do you even know? Who is the guy? Who is the Republican National Party chairman?
Well, wait a minute. His name is Rance Priebus. No, he's not the car. His name is Rance Priebus.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look into who he was Michael Steele's right-hand man, or he was the spy that watched Michael Steele and what he did and reported back to the white race. It's always about race, Black. It's always about race, and it always will be about race. The infusion of money, the Trojan horse campaigning that they have jumped into, that they have been applying, these are what these meetings with the Koch brothers were about. The meetings when Barack Obama was about to pass health care, when the Republicans met with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and all of these other, you know, big oil, the whole nine yards, when they all came together at the Koch brothers meeting with Supreme Court judges Clarence Thomas and Anthony
Scalia,
with the big oil, big agriculture, with all of your big corporations, with Glenn Beck and Fox News executives, with hedge fund managers, their plan is to destroy our economy, keep unemployment high, say no to everything this president said or wants to do to get him out of office. Power is what they are seeking. And if you don't think he has something to do with it, something wrong.
Hey, hold up, Alpha. That's their plan, but what's ours? I got a caller. Let me let this caller in. I'm going to see you this time. 111, are you here? Can you hear me? Hello?
I think that's me.
Yeah. Hey, Brother Alpha, this is Sister Rebecca.
I'm just listening.
Oh, you were just listening?
Yeah, I'm eating some soup, but I'm listening.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, just go ahead and eat. Okay, whatever. Hey, Brother Alpha, just give me, hold on just a second, okay?
How you doing, Brother Alpha? How you doing,
Brother? Hey, how you doing?
You know, this is the sister that has SMART up in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I wanted to send you a brochure, Brother Alpha, but I didn't have your address.
Black was supposed to take care of that.
I will take care of it. So, and it's my fault. I'll take the load. I just put it on me. So, and let me say hello to the chatologist. And Sister Navazar sent me a site, and I'm going to speak on it here in a little bit. And related to Brother Alpha, I'm going to relate it to SMART. Be right. I'm gonna y'all hold on just a second. I'm gonna do this. I want you to tell me what you think about this, Sister Rebecca.
Who was the person that was doing that poetry?
SMART Incorporated. Single mothers are really trying. SMART Incorporated is a nonprofit organization that provides reentry and residential rehabilitation services to people suffering from addictions and co-occurring disorders. Our goal is to help women improve health and wellness, reduce risk of addiction relapse, STDs, and violence. We also help to improve self-sufficiency, build and sustain healthy relationships, and strengthen families. SMART houses women and their children who are reentering from the forensic system or that are in need of addiction treatment. Our purpose, SMART, Single Mothers Are Really Trying, desires to make a footprint and take leadership in providing services to disadvantaged mothers and children. Temporary shelter as well as other support services will be offered to women with children who are homeless, recovering from addictions, victims of spousal abuse, ex-felons, or otherwise economically disadvantaged. No matter where your past has been, your future is spotless.
Wow.
Sister Rebecca, I did that in your honor, dear heart.
That was fantastic. Thank you.
Hey, you're
so
very welcome.
Sweet. That's nice.
But anyway, that was the poetry
was
Chocolate Nips in the Nip Poetic Nook on Pal Talk, and also was the Brother Poetic Soul. And those were the two spoken words. King Heroin was Chocolate Nips.
They was
and,
nice.
Wedding in Fallujah was Brother Poetic Soul.
Mm-hmm.
But Alpha, I'm going to get Sister Rabia your information because you'll be on Saturday, right? This coming Saturday. You know, I don't know what your books are looking like, but Sister Rabia, Brother Alpha's on what day is Brother Alpha? Saturday.
I'm on Saturday afternoon, 2:00 Central Time.
Right.
Let me write that down. So wait a minute.
All right, let me do this right quick. Y'all don't go nowhere. Hold on. I'm gonna say, come to Blog Talk Radio and type your favorite host in the search block and retrieve all relevant and pertinent information, including show host and show time. Sister Indy declares show daily. That's 10 a.m. Central Standard, Monday through Friday, and I think it's also going to be coming on at night, if I'm not mistaken. But Sister Indy declared, just come to Blog Talk Radio, type it in the search block, INDIADECLAIR, and Sister Navazar. Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. Wonderful show. Get a chance, check her out. NAVAXOR1. And she'll be on Blog Talk Radio. Sister Janice Graham, Our Common Ground. Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. And they had a wonderful show, man. I got a chance to listen to that last week. Oh, celebrating music history, Black Music History Month in the month of June, and I enjoyed myself at that show last week, Brother Alpha, talking about Gil Scott Heron and what was that other brother's name?
Geronimo Pratt or Geronimo Giga. That's where he goes by. He's another one of the warriors, one of the brothers who have passed on, and that's what we were devoting that show to, was the music and the legacy of some of our fallen warriors and our fallen heroes. And he was, you know, he was simply one in many, and we're losing so many of the outstanding Black activists as they have literally continued their lives and, you know, abundant poverty because of the lack of support. You know, these people put their lives on the line. Geronimo Pratt was jailed for 25 years, only to find out there was some hanky-panky going on. The prosecutor withheld information about our witness. Now, tell me that's not race.
Well, you know what? I won't get into it. You know, we got our own thing. We got company, so I won't get in. But also down in New Orleans, there was a brother. I can't remember his name, but the that was Harry Connick Jr.'s daddy. Harry Connick Sr. was the New Orleans district attorney, and his attorney's office. There were two attorneys. I guess what do you call them? Assistant district attorneys, I guess.
Right.
And they hid evidence, buried evidence that would have exonerated a prisoner that was on death row for 14 or 15 years. And finally, after 10 years of concealing this information, this guy that was dying of cancer told another one of the assistant DAs, and the other assistant DA held on to the information for an additional 5 years. And that brother was on death row. And then once the that information finally got out and he was released, he filed suit in the state of Louisiana. And as he filed suit in the state of Louisiana, he won an award of $14 million, a million for every year he was in jail. Went to the Supreme Court, pleaded it, and Scalia, Thomas, Alito, Roberts, and I think
returned it. So, you know, Black, that's my entire, you know, when you cannot separate race from this. Don't talk about, you're talking about Louisiana, talk about the Danziger Bridge right after Hurricane Katrina.
Mm-hmm. Where they
three
shot
African
the people
Americans
down.
That were murdered on the Danziger Bridge, and the other 8 or 9 that were shot by police officers. They were unarmed. That's not how the report read. The report read that shots had been fired. The report read that, but they couldn't produce guns. They couldn't produce any weapons.
Right.
It just cleared they had killed 3 people. One was a mentally challenged young man.
Yeah.
And, you know, come to find out that, you know, not just the murders occurred,
right,
but they were racially motivated and they were covered up. So people who didn't pull triggers participated.
Well, that's what I call KKKOMPLICIT, complicit.
Yeah,
and people don't understand the extreme implications of being complicit, in, because it you can't have those deviant acts segregated to a certain area. It's the same thing as trying to segregate drugs to a certain area. Thought you could introduce it into South Central LA, and that's as far as it would go. Well, it's extensive. Ain't enough brothers that can pay for 300 tons of cocaine, and that's how much came across during the last year of the George Bush administration. 300, if I'm not mistaken, I'm almost sure I'm right, 300 tons of cocaine. And it ain't enough. Man, we can't buy it. We don't have that kind of money to buy that much cocaine.
Well, Black, it's not so much. Not so much. We not only don't have that kind of money, we don't have those logistics. What were we, getting them through a UPS?
Yeah.
No, we don't have those logistics. When you, and you know, there were police officers at the Danziger Bridge in Louisiana involved.
Mm-hmm.
People of color.
People
of color. So they have been indoctrinated. They have been indoctrinated into this thin blue line scenario. These are former, you know, and you know, what gets me about a lot of these Black conservatives are that they're former military. So they've been brainwashed from the beginning. You speak about, tell me, speak what you will about the military. The first thing you have to become when you join the military is a willing participant. The commercials say it, you have to become something bigger than yourself. And that's how it's sold to you. And that's how you get people after they come out who go into law enforcement who don't want to see the evils of what we are experiencing as a people, who want to say, well, and they have a lot to stand on because they talk about the irresponsibility and the lack of self-responsibility of a lot of people who exhibit this behavior. And I would speak to them like this. That is simply the temperature of things as they are. Who set the thermostat? Who set the thermostat with miseducation? Who set the thermostat with disparaged treatment in jobs, in resources, in services? I live here in Chicago. I've been here for 58 years. I know it when I see it. You can't have somebody tell me, oh, there you go playing the race card again. The deck is raked. Every card out of that deck is raked. You can speak about the human race. Actually being generic about it. We are all of the human race. That's a given.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's a given. We know we are the human race.
Mm-hmm.
What else is there? It's just what it is. And that's what we must continue to get to people who want to push it aside or people who want to deny it. Yes, this is the year 2011, but yet look at what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what we're looking at. I don't care what this Black man in the White House does, and he's running around playing the Jackie Robinson of the White House. He's afraid
of. He's got
of
no choice. He's got, you know, you give me a constituency. Give me. See, what happens is if I'm going to tear you down, then I got to make sure that I have enough backup that you can withstand what I got to say. But
so,
see, otherwise I'm just going to sacrifice you. And who's the better on the other side? Maybe Romney, maybe Valenti.
Hate Romney.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, I can't tear down my brother if I don't have somebody to replace him.
Well,
and this is why I'm very cautious about what I say in public about President Obama.
Because
I'm going to do is give the fire, give some ammunition to some people who want to hear me say something. They want to see Herman Cain, who's a clown, and so forth. to they want to see him try to, you know. But the one thing that I would do with Herman Cain is the same thing that they want to do with Obama. What I would ask Herman Cain is, what are you going to do for the black people? And that's the quickest way to get Herman Cain out of the conversation. I would ask Pawlenty the same thing. I would ask Mitt Romney the same thing. If I'm going to ask President Obama that, if I'm going to castigate President Obama, then I'm going to also excoriate the Republican Party.
Well, see, they're not going to do that. Look at what they're doing to this white Jewish boy from New York. Look at what they're doing to the white Jewish boy from New York. He is one of the most outspoken progressive advocates there are.
Wait. I got two reasons to ask you to wait. Hold on just a second. Because Sister Navazar gave me something that she wanted me to she gave it to me right quick. But let me finish this right quick, brother Apple. Hold on just a second. I was talking about Sister Navazar. She's on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please check out Sister Navazar. Sister Janice, Janice Graham, Our Common Ground, Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And I want you to please check her out. Put her in the Blog Talk search bar, JanicGraham. And check out her show. Brother Alpha is a guest host on there most of the time, and you can see he's a firebrand. And he and I love to talk to my brother. I really do. Brother Alpha's show comes 2 p.m. Saturday, and Brother Alpha, is that my time central or is that your time?
It's Central Time, 2 o'clock Central Time. We're in the same time zone.
It's 3 o'clock Eastern, right?
3 o'clock Eastern. Black, we're in the same time zone, but we are worlds away. You live in Texas.
see, Sister Rabia, see how he is? You sure you want me to give you all the pertinent information?
That's the truth. You live in Texas, man. Come on, you may as well be in the lost world.
Hey, you know what you're talking about.
Go to any of the southern states. Go to South Carolina and tell me what it's like. I know people from Alabama. I know people. I got people who live in Georgia. I've got people down there. They still walk around with their heads down. Damn.
Keep on. I'm going to let you slide. I'm going to let you slide. Let me do this for Sister Navazar, and I appreciate it. She's talking about a 15-year-old already a Morehouse guy. You know about that. Plus, I want to tell you that they're going to may let that guy that killed Grant, the guy that was handcuffed with his hands behind his back, that he said he thought he was shooting him with a taser and killed him. I think they said they may let him out. But anyway, this guy is a 15-year-old already, a Morehouse man, and this is Deron Dalton. The story is written by him 4 or 5 p.m. Yesterday, the 6th and the 8th of 2011. Said instead of being in his sophomore year in high school, 15-year-old Stephen Stafford is a sophomore at Morehouse College. Sophomore at Morehouse College. Can you believe it? Class are enjoyable, Stafford said. They're not too hard, not too easy. He used to have three majors until he dropped pre-med for just computer science and mathematics. Stafford credits his parents for his success. His mother decided to stay home full-time to teach him and his sister while his father worked. They lined up the work for me. He said this whole thing would definitely not have been possible without my parents. However, Stafford might not be getting the full college experience because of his age, hanging out with friends and making contacts, freedom from his parents, etc. Quote, unquote, I probably am missing a lot of that, he said. After classes are done, I still have to go back home with my parents. Stafford said right now he is more concerned with his coursework, but when the time comes, he will have the freedom to do what he wants to do. So that's congratulations to my young brother here, Stephen Stafford, 15 years old and a sophomore at Morehouse College. And in Morehouse where Cain went also. But this is where that I think thank you, Sister Navazar. I appreciate that story. And let me finish this right quick, Brother Alpha. This is Brother Alpha show, 2 p.m. Saturdays, Central Standard Time, Truth Works Network called Just Damn Political Pushback Radio. That's the Alpha, ALFO show. Miss Quiet Storm, thank you, Miss Quiet Storm. She's on Blog Talk Radio. That's MSQUIT. And she also has www.missquietstorm.com. So check her out and get all the relevant pertinent information from her or about her. And Dr. Reba Haley, www.rebahaley.com. And the book that she has currently in print is The Covenant Connection, Your Best Marriage Now. Love Productions Incorporated, Nikki Love. I got a chance to listen to her. Great show. The Poetess, also Original Poetry After Dark, Fridays and Tuesdays, 10 p.m. until 12 a.m. Central Standard Time. Harlem Talk Radio is a good show, Thursdays, 2 p.m. And Brother Alpha, I'm going to, that's it. And let me let Sister Rabia talk about SMART, if you don't mind, dear sis. How's everything going? I hear that you're going to have an orientation or something like that. You still here, Sister Rabia?
I was swallowing the...
Oh, I'm sorry. You got to look over me. Y'all know I get excited. But I'm happy to have you two. And I wish Sister Navazar and Chad Algis would call in. And it's always just a total joy to have a chance to visit with you guys. Brother Alpha and I, we get our testosterone going, and it's hard to get in between us. But, you know, we have to make way for our dear sisters out there. And I know that Sister Rabia, you know, Brother Alpha, this is one way that she has of addressing the situations that we as a culture find ourselves in. And, you know, what she does is works with, she has programs to for addiction and also behavioral, I'm going to say it, but I may be wrong, but she can correct me when she gets done, behavioral modification, or, you know, where she enlists the family, the mother and the children together to provide solutions that would bring them back together as a family after whatever their extreme circumstances were that caused them to have any kind of difficulties initially. So,
can I say something?
Go ahead, please. I'm sorry, yes, ma'am.
No, I just want to thank you because one of the things that I do admire about you is that you're consistent with the Blog Talk Radio, and that you say a lot of good things about, you know, the different, you know, black brothers and sisters that are out there doing positive things, you know, in their communities and getting across some of these messages that people need to hear, you know. And you know, you do it faithfully every Thursday, no matter what, you know, you come on. And you give kudos to, you know, these sisters and these brothers, and you allow people to come on your show and to speak in their manner which they speak, but whatever their passion is, whatever their profession is. And, you know, I just thank you, you know, that you do this for the community. I think it's fantastic.
We got no choice. I mean, you're driven to do what you do, and I am just because, you know, Brother Alpha, we got a little tiny bit of history, Sister Rabia and myself. I've been knowing her for, what, 3, 4, 5 years now? Never met her, but
you say
I've
three, four, five, but I don't know. Might have been
maybe
like
longer.
Six.
You know, and Brother Alpha, what it is about her is that she and I used to go in the same room. You know, we go in the chat rooms, and we, just the way we are now, as fervent and vehement as we defend our position, whatever they are, we do it in every venue that I've been in.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had talking about the ills in the community. But when Sister Rabia, when she got going, she worked for the prison system, had a degree already in law enforcement, turns around and writes programs to assist individuals, not only writes them, puts them together in a format, a SMART Mothers Are Really Trying format, submits it, and gets all the particulars taken care of, and she's initiated the process. And what one of the things that I tell you that I'll never forget is that she ran into a situation where there was a mother that was getting ready to be homeless. This is one particular incident, and she didn't tell me this for me to tell you. She told me this because she was so distraught about it. And so I'm listening to her, and she says, and she said, I could get her 2 days at a motel. And I thought, what? To transition. It's not like Sister Ramirez is wealthy, like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, but she gave her, after she was evicted, her and her children, put them up for 2 days just to transition to a homeless shelter, you know. And so then now they're down in that, well, she comes in, gets them all, you know, hey, we can do this, and we're going to, you know. And so, I mean, you know, how can
you making me cry.
No, hey, I'm just saying it like it is. And see, Brother Alpha and I, he takes a perspective of having us be aware politically that we have to stay engaged and involved. And, you know, because without him and his information and so forth, we don't have the reason to do the voting and to get politically involved so that we can make the changes necessary.
That and that's why I listened. That's why I was listening, because
exactly. And I appreciate
a lot
it,
of it.
Know.
I do not profess to know anything about politics, you know, because of SMART and what we do in the community. I am assisting a gentleman that's running for county council. I know his wife, and then they just pulled me in to assist him in the primaries that were last month, and now we're just going to work for the November election. But so when I listen to you guys, I'm really listening, because I don't know anything about the political, you know, realm. So, you know, I listen to you, and it's a lot of good information. I take notes, and I'm just learning. You know, I'm a student. I'm just learning.
And tell your dad hello.
I will.
Yeah.
He told me to tell you the same thing.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. But I really do. Let Brother Alpha, because like I say, what he does is he has a unique perspective, but he's an information guy. This guy has a lot of information. And I really appreciate him. I really do. And you know I love you and appreciate you, sis. So, hey, it's all good. But, you know, but Brother Alpha, I want you to know, man, I appreciate you. I always enjoy you, you know, fussing with you, man.
I wish I could get a camera for Brother Alpha's head and just go inside of his brain. And just take a picture, and I'm like, how can he remember all that stuff? You know,
that's the whole thing. This has very little to do with memory. You take in some of the things, and you look at what you see. You know, Black, I am a supporter, a full staunch supporter of Barack Obama.
Amen, bro. I know that. I know that.
Done.
Don't. You know I know.
For this nation, in the last 2.5 years, has been outstanding. Now, where I criticize him, if he were not trying to be the Jackie Robinson of the White House, you know, gas prices are shot through the roof.
Yeah.
Gas prices are shot through the roof, and it's because of the speculators.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he has a CFTC appointee that he can. That seat is vacant.
What's
and
the
all
CFTC?
He has to do is put a ceiling.
What's
have
the CFTC?
Have them put a ceiling on these speculators. And yet
What's
he won't do it. And gas continues to go up, and they continue to craft this argument that it's all his fault. Okay?
Yes.
There are certain things that he can do as president with the powers of the presidency that can shut all of this down. They're talking about allowing us to default on our debt 107 times. This ceiling has been raised. Now all of a sudden we ain't gonna raise it unless we get what we want. That's what they do. They legislate with hostage taking. Mm-hmm. And they know that the Democrats are too weak to stand up to this. They know that this president will not allow this economy to be damaged. But they are willing to damage it anyway. And instead of him doing what, of all people, Bill Clinton did, calling them out and calling their bluff, you let them not raise the debt ceiling. They are in violation of the 14th Amendment. You cannot force a default. And since they have violated the 14th Amendment, they are also in violation of their oath of office.
Mm-hmm.
You seize that opportunity to do the shock doctrine legislation that they would do if they were in power. You see, they're all in power throughout all of these northern states, and they are doing what they want to do in an overreach.
Collective bargaining rights,
the whole nine yards. Black,
mm-hmm.
I know you got a few minutes left.
No, I'm cool. I got 5 minutes. But here's what I wanted to throw in there, Brother Alpha. See, what happened, and this is something that this is my point. Get both the Republicans out. Because, see, all right, what they did in Wisconsin, they voted in the Republican. Republican turned around and bit them hard. Now then they're going to recall it. They thought everything's cool. They take a deep breath. Now then the Republicans are running Republicans as Democrats. I mean, these people will stoop to – there is not a level that a Republican will not stoop to, you know. And you were talking about Anthony Weiner.
This has worked for 30 years. Mm-hmm. This type of misrepresenting – what your intentions are, has worked for 30 years. It will work again.
You mean for the Republicans in their favor?
For the Republicans. You know, you see, when they told the people, where are the jobs?
Mm-hmm. And then they get in office. Mm-hmm.
When they told the people, death panels.
Mm-hmm.
Then they told the people Barack Obama and his Obamacare cut $500 billion for Medicare. Those are all lies.
Right.
And but the inability of the Democrats to carry the truth is why they lost. Not Michael Steele.
You know, to me, again, I listen to what they call the progressives. I listen to, and I'm gonna talk about your boy right now, Ed Schultz. I don't know why we need to back the Democrats if they're not, you know. I'm like, dude, this is not the time for us to do infighting. We can do infighting after we got control of the House and the Senate. You know, we got the presidency. We need a bulletproof Senate, a filibuster-proof Senate, and a sufficient majority in the House that will allow nominees and legislation to get out of committee. And I don't care. I'm not, you know, it's not a matter to me. Obama is one dude. All the other people out here are the ones that need to vote. All the other people out here are the ones that allowed this majority to happen. This dude can only vote for one. I don't expect him to put food in my mouth, take work my jaw, and make me eat it. I mean, you know, I know I'm smart enough to pay attention to what's going on out here. And there are a lot of people out here that want to say, well, Obama made me. It's like the devil made me. Yeah. Hey, brother, I got 90 seconds. Let you wrap it up, then, Sister Rabia, would you wrap it up, and then I'm going to shut her down. How about that?
We
got to get together
again.
All
wrapped up. Y'all go ahead.
Hey, Alpha, 2 p.m. Saturday, 2 p.m. Saturday and 10 p.m. Saturday night, right? Thank you. Sister Rabia, what you got? Hello.
I'm here.
All right.
I'm trying to swallow my food.
Okay, go ahead. That's all right. You got to come back, all right? You and Brother
Alpha.
And I wish Sister Navazar would call through, and I wish Chad Algis would call through. But let me say thank you for joining
thank
us.
Thank you.
I greatly appreciate it. And that was the Nips Nook on PowTalk.com. And Brother Poetic Soul with the wedding in Fallujah, and Brother Alpha of the Alpha Show and the Truth Network on Blog Talk Radio. Sister Navazar is in the room. Sister Chadologist is in the room. and Sister Rabia Ahmed.
I can never get into the room.
S-M-A-R-T, the number 2 chain. What did you say, sis? What did you say?
I said I could never get into the room.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I got to ask them about that. There's a lot of people telling me they can't get in the room. So, but anyway, 10 seconds. Anytime you want to give us a call, give us a call at 347-945-7040. The next phase with Ice and Friends and blakicz.1@gmail.com. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll look forward to
seeing
you again next week. Thank you.
Thank
Appreciate you.
You.
Love you. God bless.